Look at a psalm that a few years ago we looked at in prayer meeting, but I want us to look at it so that we can record it and put it on the internet. So with our time together this morning, I want to draw your attention to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. We will read the whole psalm together this morning, and then we'll ask for the Lord's help in our study. So Psalm 136, reading the whole psalm, all 26 verses. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the Lord, unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord. Didn't I just read that? Verse 4. To him who alone doth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an inheritance, for his mercy endureth forever. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading from his inspired word. Let's bow our hearts now in prayer, asking for the Holy Spirit's help in our study this morning. Our Father in heaven, as we come to thee this morning, we have reason to give thee thanks. We have read of a multitude of reasons here before us. And we would ask, Lord, that you would indeed touch our hearts, that we might be a thankful and a grateful people unto thee. Lord, you have dealt with us in mercy and not according to our sins. You have shown us grace upon grace, that we would even now be among thy people. It is a measure of thy grace and mercy to us. Father, we come to praise thee for that continual love that you show to those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we would ask, Lord, for your help in our study. We would ask for your help throughout this day. We would ask, Lord, that you would see us in the blood and that you would come with your Spirit upon each one of your people and that you would quicken us, that you would renew us, that you would strengthen us as we would seek to do thy bidding. Lord, even in this hour, we ask for thy help. We ask for our young people as they would study thy word together. That, Lord, you would anoint the teachers with power and grace as they would teach the word of God. Lord, we would ask the same for ourselves. We have come together on thy day to seek thy face and to seek your presence. And we ask, O Lord, that you would indeed fulfill your promise that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that you would be there in the midst. Lord, come. Come and help us each one. Come and speak to our hearts from thy word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this psalm is easily divided into four sections. There is the beginning section where he is thanking the Lord for his mercy. And then the ending section, verse 26, where he again thanks the Lord for his mercy. So verses 1 to 3 and then verse 26. In the middle of the psalm, he thanks the Lord for his mercy in creation. You see that in verses 4 to 9. Thanking the Lord for his mercy in creation. And then he thanks the Lord for his mercy in redemption. And you have that in verses 10 through 15. And then in verses 16 to 25, you have the Lord being thanked for his mercy in providence. So he thanks the Lord, verses 1 to 3, for his mercy. Then verses 4 to 9 for his creation. And then verses 10 to 15 for his redemption. And then he thanks the Lord for his mercy in providence, verses 16 to 25. And then he concludes the psalm in the way that he began, thanking the Lord for his mercy. Now there are 26 verses in this psalm. The first three form an introduction that we are to thank the Lord. And then the last one also speaks concerning our need to thank the Lord. That leaves 22 verses that form the main content of what we are to thank the Lord for, what he has done on our behalf. Now, 22 in Scripture is indeed this idea of completeness, just as the alphabet is complete with 22 letters, so the psalm would be complete with 22 stanzas. That's 22 verses, excuse me. In this psalm, you have a refrain that keeps coming up, for his mercy endureth forever. I wanted to read the whole psalm this morning so that you could catch, as it were, how often this comes up. In every verse, you have this refrain or this chorus being mentioned. The psalm obviously centers on his mercy. And you have then in the chorus or the refrain that we are to give thanks to the Lord. Why? For his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever. Now this tells us as an example that the psalm gives us that we indeed can have choruses that can be a part of our singing. And we do have that in our hymn book. You have hymns where you have the body of the hymn and then a chorus that comes after each stanza. Certainly that's following the pattern of this psalm. But there's not much in each verse. There's not much there except for one line. And then you have the refrain, his mercy endureth forever. Obviously, the psalmist is trying to get our hearts to be focused on the fact that in everything, the Lord continues to show us his mercy. Now the word for mercy here is the word that the Puritans defined as that goodness that God shows to those who are in misery. The goodness that God shows to those who are in misery. In other words, it's based on his goodness and that goodness flowing from God to us in our misery, in our problems, in our situations where we need his help. Sometimes this word is translated loving kindness. The word goodness describes God in such a way that it is very parallel to the word for love in the New Testament. When you look at the word love in 1 Corinthians 13, you find that that is God's goodness flowing to us. And when God's love is flowing to us, the kindnesses that we are shown by that love are his loving kindnesses. So whether you translate this, the word mercy, in the idea that goodness is flowing to us, and we call that goodness flowing to us in our misery, mercy, or whether you translate it loving kindness, in that God is showing us kindness that's flowing to us from his love, it matters very little. The idea is the same. God is showing you and I kindnesses every day that we live. Or we could say he is showing us mercies every day that we live. Now there is another word for mercy in the Old Testament. It comes from the root where you have this idea of a deep emotion. Sometimes it's translated pity. Sometimes it's translated compassion. And that word too refers to God's mercy. When you have this word, that we have for the most part is dealing with God's actions. The actions that he shows to those who are in misery. The other word that I just mentioned, that is often translated pity, has to do with the emotion of God toward those who are in misery. And so both words are used by God to describe himself as well as to describe what he gives to his people. For instance, in Exodus 34, Moses was asking to see the glory of the Lord. And the Lord made it very clear to Moses that he could not see all of his glory, but he could see that glory, that part of his glory that was designated as his goodness. And then in chapter 34, when you find the Lord passing by and revealing his goodness to Moses, he does so by speaking of his compassion, his tender mercy. That's the first word that the Lord uses to describe himself and his glory to Moses, his compassion, his pity, his tender mercy. The second word that he uses is the word for grace. We think of that as being God's favor to those who have not earned it. And then he uses the word for long-suffering or slow to wrath, as it sometimes is translated. And it speaks of his goodness there, and it's really the word mercy, and that it's an abundant mercy, and that it's a mercy connected with his truthfulness or his faithfulness. It's a continual mercy that never stops and never ceases. And you have the word forgiveness. Forgiveness for our transgressions, our sins, our iniquities. The three ways that God describes all of our wickedness in the Old Testament. And so when God allowed Moses to see his goodness, he did so in terms of what we would call the gospel today. And part of that gospel message is this idea of mercy flows from the heart of compassion, that the acts of his mercy that are as high as the heavens, that are abundant, that are faithful, that never stop, that never cease. So we have then in this passage, Psalm 136, the psalmist glorying in one aspect of the goodness of the Lord, that we could say makes up his glory, that goodness. Now the Greek church, when they came to this psalm, they call it the polyeleos, the polyeleos. The word poly in the Greek means many. Eleos is the word for mercy in the Greek. The polyeleos, because there is a continual refrain of mercy, just like there's a continual outpouring of mercy on God's people day after day after day. Our lives should remember all of the mercy we have received at our Lord's hand. Certainly that is the theme of the psalm. Some think that the refrain, which we have mentioned, his mercy endureth forever, was sung perhaps the temple worship by another choir. In other words, you had two choirs, and the first choir would sing the new attribute of the Lord, a new work of the Lord that is spoken, then the other choir would come and say, for his mercy endureth forever. Certainly the refrain occurs 26 times for emphasis. Not merely that we would remember this before the Lord, but also that in our singing we would remember this before the Lord as we worship him. This psalm was sung at the dedication of the temple. You see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 3 to 6, where part of the psalm was sung. So therefore, it is truly proper for our worship. It was also sung before a battle. You see that in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 21. And so it was proper to remember the Lord's mercies when they worshiped. It was also proper to remember the Lord's mercies when they served, especially when that service had to do with warring against the enemy. All of our life is taken up in worship and service of the Lord. Therefore, we can say that this psalm is of utmost importance for our lives as believers. When we lose sight of what he has done for us, our hearts dry up. When we lose sight of all of his tender mercies, we think he has forgotten us. But we become cold of heart toward him. But we become short in our faith with him. And we need to constantly renew ourselves, as it were, in goodness. When we come then to the beginning of the psalm, he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." You know that words "he is" are in italics. It could just as easily read, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because it is good." That would mean it is our proper duty to give thanks to the one who shows us mercy. It is proper. It is the correct position of the heart to give thanks to the one who shows us mercy. Now, I believe the translation we have is a good translation. It's certainly valid, and it's one that is shared by many of the other psalms. When you look at the scripture, the goodness of the Lord is at the heart of his showing mercy. And so the psalm begins then with telling us he is good. In Psalm 119 and verse 68 we read, "For thou art good and doest good, teach me thy statutes." You have a hard time having the Lord teach you his statutes if you've forgotten his goodness. You can twist the word, but you can't come with a heart open to the word unless you have a trust in the goodness of the Lord. And as the goodness of the Lord is upon your heart, and you know that he does good, you can then say, "All right, Lord, my heart's open to you. Just teach me anything you want. You're good, and what you're doing is good." The Lord is good. And at the heart of that goodness is his infinite and consistent or faithful mercy that he shows to his people. When we come then to this very first verse and the last verse, he begins and ends the same way. "Give thanks unto the Lord." In verse 26, "O give thanks unto the God of heaven for his mercy in the Lord." In this beginning section, verses 1 to 3, and then again in verse 26. First of all, he is said to be the good Lord, the good Jehovah. "Give thanks unto Jehovah for his goodness." We can say theologically that he is substantially good. That is, it's part of his essence. It is what God is. It is the way you describe God. Some would say that the word "God" comes from the English word for goodness. Whether that's the case or no, certainly when you look at God, he is good. You and I are not good. We're sinners. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Paul says in Romans 3, we have to learn goodness. And in our best days, when we are trying to be good, we are still tainted with that measure of evil. And sometimes when we think then of God and his goodness, we compare it to our goodness and we think, well, God, he's not perfectly good. But he is. From beginning to end, from top to bottom, if you could measure God, he is completely 100% good. It's goodness, and therefore he becomes the standard of good. He is substantially good, and all other standards of what good is are compared to him. And if it doesn't compare to him, if it's something contrary to his being, then it's not good. He is the standard for goodness. He is the source of goodness. Since man fell into sin, we can say the source of evil comes from our own hearts. But he is the source of goodness. Turn if you would, just for a moment, to James. James chapter 1. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And then he names one of those gifts. What is it? That you were born again. You are saved. And so any goodness that you and I have really flows to us from this God who is good, who gives us these good gifts. Now, we have many good gifts, as we will see in just a few minutes. He is not only substantially good and the standard of that which is good, the source of good, but he is also the sustainer of good. If he gave you that which was good and then it dried up, you would need goodness tomorrow. Where would it come from? It comes from God. And the God who began you on this journey is not going to forsake you, not going to leave you to your own devices. He is good, therefore we are to praise him for his mercy. We looked a few months ago at the Lord's as our shepherd in Psalm 23. And one of the things David says at the end of the psalm is that the goodness of the Lord was following him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So it's not merely that he starts us on this trek with his goodness. He does. But his goodness continues to follow us and follow us and follow us, as well as his mercy, which is repeated over and over and over again in this psalm. God's goodness and his mercy are following us. You don't have to worry what's going to catch up to you. His goodness and his mercy are what is protecting your back, as it were. His goodness and his mercy are following after you. And so Jehovah, the name that's used expressing the fact that he is self-existent, he is unchanging, he is eternal. This is the eternal covenant name. The first thing that he wants us to praise him for is the fact that he is good. He is good. Secondly, we praise him for his mercy because he is the greatest God. This is what is expressed to us in verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. There are other gods, quote unquote, gods, little letter G, that were worshipped in the Old Testament, the God of Baal, the God of Moloch, the God of Chemosh. And these gods were not gods. And yet there was attributed to them great things. Baal was a deliverer who was supposed to come and help his people at different times. Sometimes he'd be gone from them on a hunting journey. Sometimes he would be asleep. And when Elijah then challenged the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, he told them, go and wake him up. Maybe he's gone on a long journey. And every once in a while when the people were delivered, it was usually God himself who delivered them, and yet they attributed that to Baal. To Baal. And the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Whether you worship an idol or whether you worship a God that doesn't exist, there is only one true and living God, the one who created the world, the one who will judge the world, the one who in three persons works out our salvation for his glory and for our good. There is but one God who created this world. And we are to give him thanks. Why? because his mercy endures forever. When you receive mercy, it is from this one God, this God who is above all other gods. Would you note that he is said to be the Lord as well in verse 3? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. This is the word that is translated master, or the sovereign ruler. It is the word Adonai. And here we find that he is the only true Lord, the highest master, the one who is the ruler of all that has been made. Not merely that he is the creator and the God above all gods, but he is the Lord above all lords. And there are those who would want to rule over us, those that would want to destroy us or harm us by our following after them, those who are demanding our complete allegiance to them. And here we're giving praise to the Lord because he is the Lord of lords. He is the one who is indeed the giver of mercy as the Lord. So we have lords who can be very cruel in this earth. Men or women who would rule over a country and in their ruling over the country do that which would harm the country. But not this Lord. This Lord is full of goodness and he shows mercy to those who are his subjects. And so he is the God of gods. And as such, he shows mercy to that which he created, to that which he has made. But he is also the Lord of lords. And he shows mercy to those whom he rules over. And so we find as Jehovah, as the God of gods, as the master, as the ruler, as the Lord of everything. So here we find that the names of God are coming to our attention from the Old Testament. And the psalmist begins by saying that this is the one that you worship. And this is the one that you give thanks to for your mercy. You remember that in the Old Testament, God judged the nation of Israel because she had apostatized from him. And one of the things he did was to take her down into Egypt for her sins. And when she went down into Egypt, she continued worshiping her false deity. She worshiped the queen of heaven. She worshiped the gods of Egypt. And she attributed to those gods the blessing that God had given to her. Or how many times in this earth do people receive mercy at the hand of the true and living God, and then they attribute it to good luck? They attribute it to the forces of nature? They attribute his mercy to some deity that doesn't exist? There were those who murdered and slaughtered just this last week, people in Paris, attributing it to Allah. Allah. And they would have viewed this conquering of the people, this fighting people that were innocent, had done them no harm, killing people that were defenseless. They would have attributed that as a mercy from Allah to them as they murdered those who had no reason to die, at least at their hands. All through the earth, that you live and that you are given good things, all through the earth, that goodness is expressed in a way where paganism is given the glory, as it were, for the good things that come to us. Here is a God who makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. Here is a God who gives the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And rather than receive glory and thanksgiving for his continued mercy, the creatures that he has made turn that and they give glory to the creature. They give glory to that which does not exist. Right at the beginning of the psalm, we are to give glory to Jehovah, to the God of gods, to the Lord of lords, because his mercy endureth forever. And every one of us this morning, every day of our life, even when we were an infant and didn't know what was going on, God spared us and God watched over us and God gave us mercy. And then he was rich in his mercy in bringing us to Christ for salvation. You say, where does the scripture teach that? Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Now Paul says this in the plural, meaning he's talking about himself as a Jew, as well as talking about the Gentiles who were found among the Ephesians. So here we were, dead in trespasses and sins, fighting against God, fulfilling the lust of the mind and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Now verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. His mercy kept you alive all the time that you were fighting against him, all the time you were a child of wrath, all the time you were doing the bidding of the prince of the power of the air. It was his mercy that kept you alive. God easily could have wiped us out before we were saved. God easily could have poured his wrath out upon our head and we would have been cut off and sent to hell for all eternity. But he didn't do that. But even more than that, he, in his rich mercy, came after you, and by his love, he quickened you when you were dead in trespasses and sins. He quickened you and made you alive. This was a demonstration of his love. It was a demonstration of his grace and of his mercy. Not just did he keep us alive all those days before we were saved and we were rebelling against him, but he actually reached down into our life and he saved us. He was rich in mercy toward us. And so we are to give thanks to him because he is the good Jehovah. We are to give thanks to him because he is the greatest of gods who shows us mercy. We are to give thanks to him because he is the greatest of the lords, of the masters, of the sovereign rulers of the world who gives us mercy. Turn, if you would, now to verse 26 of Psalm 136, verse 26, where we have again this introduction now coming to our attention as a conclusion. Here it says, we are to give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. To the God of heaven, the one who has authority over the earth, the one who is unchanged by the earth. You and I are changed by the earth in which we live. We're growing older. Things happen to us that bother us physically, and we change continually on the earth. But we now worship, as believers, the God of heaven. He is the one who sees all things on the earth. He is the one who is the judge of all things on the earth. And he is also the benefactor, the one showing mercy to those who are on the earth. And we are to give thanks unto this God, for his mercy endureth forever. The saints are to recognize that mercy, and to recognize that that mercy is continual, and to recognize that that mercy is eternal. Here we find the psalmist taking us through how God dealt with the nation of Israel day after day after day after day. They received continual mercy. And as you sing this psalm, or as you read, as we did this morning, this psalm, you're forced to look at the fact that day after day after day, while I am not in Israel back in those days, yet certainly he has shown me this mercy. In fact, when you look at all that takes place in this psalm, some of it takes place long before Israel was a nation, when he created the world. Some of it takes place at the beginning of her creation. Some of it takes place in the wilderness wandering. In other words, God showed mercy and mercy and mercy continually to his people. And he does so to you and to me this morning. He shows us continual mercy, and he will for all eternity. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, David is blessing the Lord for all of the benefits that he has received from the Lord. You see that in verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he begins to list them. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And then he talks about redeeming thy life from destruction, crowning thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Those are the two words that we mentioned at the beginning of our study. The word loving kindness is the word we're looking at. The word tender mercies, compassion, pity is that other word. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Right? He's quoting from Exodus 34 and verse 6. He's quoting from it. The first word for merciful there in verse 8 is the word tender mercy, compassionate, pity. But the second word is the word that we're looking at. He's plenteous. He's abundant in mercy. This is an exact quotation from the Hebrew, even though our authorized version translates some of the words by synonyms. Then he looks at this great manifestation of the Lord's goodness. And it says, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. His mercy is great. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, that's the word for that tender mercy, that compassion. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And then you have the statement, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. He is the God who rules over all. He is the God who has a throne in heaven. And it's from that throne that you and I continually, day after day, receive this infinite mercy. It's as high as the heavens. It is there from everlasting to everlasting. It's an unchanging mercy. It's an unceasing mercy. It is an unbounded mercy that God shows to us. And because of that, David says we need to bless his name. Or as we come to this psalm, we need to give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. His mercy forever. And that's what the Hebrew literally says. His mercy forever. We are to give thanks for that goodness that he shows to us in our misery. So we praise God for the fact that he is the good God, the God who is above all gods, the God who is the ruler above all rulers, the God who is in heaven. We give thanks to him because from him flows all the mercy that we receive. We have a hymn in our hymn books. It's more of a chorus than what we would call a hymn. But the theme of it is that we're to count our many blessings and name them one by one. And the hymn writer says, and it shall surprise you what the Lord has done. We forget. It's part of our nature as children who have been redeemed. We forget. We're not perfected yet. And the thing that we forget is His grace and His mercy that flow to us day after day after day. Well, we'll look more at His mercy in creation and redemption and providence as we come back to study this psalm next Lord's Day and the following Lord's Day. But let us be people who are grateful. Be people who are grateful, especially to the Lord for all the mercies that we receive at His hand. You say, but I'm going through some trial. Yes, but there's still mercy that you receive. You have presence of mind this morning. You have the ability to praise Him. Your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to glory. If you were to die, even if that were your lot today, if you were to die, you're going to step out of this world into a far better world. Mercy. It's flowing to you. It's a never-ceasing stream flowing to you today. Let's give praise and glory and honor then to the God who has indeed showed us His mercy. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we truly are grateful for a psalm that will lift the veil and allow us to see indeed Your hand made bare in mercy. Lord, we are thankful that we have been the recipients of Thy mercy. Truly, Thy common grace was full of mercy, and You showed us mercy every day of our life in keeping us alive until we would believe the gospel. But now, Lord, we partake of that rich mercy. And we come this morning to praise Thee and to give Thee thanks that that mercy that began our journey as believers has never ceased, that that mercy meets us in the morning and will carry us through the day and will watch over us as we sleep and again meet us in the morning. Our Father, we're thankful that on this Thy day we can count on Your mercy being revealed to us, that there is no reason this morning why You would stop being merciful, because there is no reason why You would stop being good. Lord, we come to Thee thanking Thee for all of Your tender and loving compassions that have been poured out upon us. And we ask, Lord, as we would come this morning and with both hands take of Thy mercy, that our hearts would respond in giving Thee thanks for all of Your goodness to us. Come and help us, Lord, this day. Come and open our hearts. Come and give us a sight of Your mercy and grace this day, that we would praise Thee for Your infinite goodness. Come and help each one, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.